We are the congregation of Cleared Driveways today. We made it out. We need a good, loud praise the Lord. How about it? Everybody, praise the Lord. He brought us here. You know, I was praying we wouldn't have to cancel. And God answered that prayer. So here we are. And what a joy it is to be here. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So it's not, oh, it's time for church, even with the time change. We are glad to be here, glad to be here. There are places in the world where people come to church at their own risk. They filter in sometimes one by one to be unnoticed. And here we are, we get to drive up into a plowed parking lot. Thank you, James Brothers. Got up early, even with the time change. And we're here. And what a joy it is. There's no such thing as a normal service, because when the Holy Spirit shows up, that's supernatural. So we pray that he shows up today. Well, let's begin with turning to the Word, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. If you're using the church Bible in your chair, you'll turn to page 533. In this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah tells us how God called him to be a prophet. And we're reading this morning because we want to correlate that with God's calling upon us for the ministry to which he's called us. So first of all, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. That's God's word for us this morning. Let's pray as we prepare to expound upon it. Lord, I recall right now how later in his book, Jeremiah spoke of your word being a fire in his bones. We pray, Lord, that our bones would catch fire this morning with the purifying and vibrant flame of your word deep within. We ask, Lord, for a fresh breeze of your spirit to fan the flames of your word. We ask, Lord, that we would go back to our homes different than we were when we came here this morning, because you will have spoken to us in the depths of our hearts, even down to the very marrow of our bones. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The ancient rabbis called him the weeping prophet. They said that he had begun wailing from the moment of his birth. When Michelangelo painted him on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he portrayed him in a posture of despair. He looks like a man who has wept so long, this weeping prophet, that he has no more tears to shed. His face is turned to one side, like a man who's been battered by many blows. His shoulders are hunched forward, as if weighed down by the judgments that are about to come upon God's rebellious people. His eyes are cast down, as if he cannot bear to look upon his own prophecies of the judgments about to come. and his hand covers his mouth. As if resisting to speak the very divine word that must overcome his resistance. His name is Yehimahu ben Hilkiyahu. Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah. He's a preacher's kid. His dad was a priest. Jeremiah labors faithfully as God's prophet for over 40 years, from 627 BC until 586 BC, when the judgments he's been prophesying all along are fulfilled, as the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem, demolishes the temple, and carries God's unfaithful people off to exile in Babylon. 40 years. 40 years. That's a long time to be a weeping prophet. Yet although he is the weeping prophet, Jeremiah has much encouragement to offer to us today. And that's where we want to pivot right now, to the encouragement that Jeremiah has to offer us today. For Jeremiah's call to ministry encourages us to be faithful to our call to ministry. Jeremiah has a particular call to ministry. God calls him to a ministry to which God had appointed him even before he was conceived. And that implies that God has a ministry to which he has appointed and called each one of us. That's why we're here. We each receive a call from God to specific ministry. There's a certain good work, there's a certain good word that God has for us to accomplish. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to the beginning of verse 5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Even before Jeremiah was conceived, even before he was a twinkle in his mother's eye, God says to Jeremiah, I knew you. Now the Hebrew word translated knew, yada, conveys a personal commitment. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart commitment. The Lord is saying to Jeremiah, before you were conceived, I had a personal commitment to you, Jeremiah. And what's true of Jeremiah is true of you and me. In some ineffable way, even before your conception, the Lord God knew you at such a depth of personal, intimate knowledge that he had a personal commitment to you and to your life and to his plan for your life. The Lord continues to say to Jeremiah, before you were born, I set you apart. Now, for someone to be set apart for God is for that person to be dedicated to holy service for God. And so long before Jeremiah was born, long before the wailing prophet emitted his first wail, God had already dedicated him and set him apart for some holy service. And what's true of Jeremiah is also true of you and true of me. I love Ephesians 2:10, which speaks of the good works that God appointed us to do. God has appointed you and God has appointed me for some good work, some blessing that God has given us to do, that he prepared beforehand. The good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. And so before we were born, God had prepared beforehand. Before we were saved, God had prepared beforehand something for us to do for him. Even before your birth, God had a plan for your life. And God's personal plan for your life included holy service to him. We could put it this way. Before you chose God, he chose you. He got a head start because he chose you before you were even conceived. Even from eternity past. If you want to know who you are, you need to know whose you are. And God chose you in Christ before the creation of the world. In John 15, 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit." And so before you were born, the Lord had already chosen you and set you apart to go and bear fruit. Now, God's prenatal plan for Jeremiah's holy service was to a specific ministry. The Lord says to Jeremiah, "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Likewise, before you were born, even before you were conceived, God appointed you for a certain ministry that he had ordained for you to do. The good works which God prepared beforehand for you to walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. Your God-appointed specific ministry might be helping out Awana or 2020 or leading a Sunday school class or assisting a Sunday school teacher. Your God-appointed ministry might be serving as an investor in Club 180 or 2020 or being a life group leader or serving behind the scenes in the kitchen or singing or playing an instrument in the praise team or serving up there in the media booth or ministering as a greeter or an usher. Your God-appointed ministry might involve a mission trip somewhere along the line. As Dexter just returned from Mexico, as the Ghana team will be sharing about that trip on the 24th. And our students on missions trips to Minneapolis and to New Orleans. That might be what God has called you to do as a student. Dexter reminded us that we are blessed to be a blessing. To be a blessing is to deliver good into someone's life. Whether it be by a good word or whether it be by a good deed. To deliver good into someone's life, that's what it is, to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. God has blessed us with this time on earth that we could be a blessing to others, delivering good words and good deeds into their lives. And that's the ministry that God has appointed for each one of us to do. So before your birth, in fact, even before you were conceived, God knew you. God knew you with such a divine love that he was personally committed to you. And out of his personal commitment to you, he chose you to make your life count in delivering good into other people's lives, to set you apart for a holy service, a particular ministry. A plan for your life. A plan for your life designed and crafted in divine counsels from eternity past. Wow! Try telling that to your colleagues at work tomorrow. There is a divine plan for my life designed and crafted in the counsels of God's will from eternity past. It's true, you know. A plan for your salvation. We're saved by grace through faith and not by works. And a plan for our ministry. Those good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love the way Pastor F.B. Meyer puts it. He's with the Lord now. Has been since 1929. But this is what he says. His words still ring with life today. From the foot of the cross, where we are cradled in our second birth, to the brink of the river where we lay down our armor, there is a path which he has prepared for us to walk in. That's what can get you through the dark days. That's what can get you through those seasons of discouragement. That's what can get you through those nights when you are stripped down to nothing but your call. That's what can get a weeping prophet keeping at it for 40 years. There comes a time in our lives when God calls. He calls us to that specific ministry to which he appointed us before our birth. Before our birth, he appointed us for a ministry, and then at some point during our lives, he calls us to that ministry for which he appointed us. God called Jeremiah in 627 BC, as recorded for us in Jeremiah chapter 1. At any time, past, present, or future, God may call you to that ministry for which he set you apart and to which he appointed you before your birth. He calls you to that ministry that he has grounded in his knowledge of you from eternity past. Now, maybe you're trying to figure out what God's planned ministry is for you. Maybe you're trying to figure out what is that blessing for which God has blessed me that I can be a blessing. Lord, what in the world do you want me to do? Well, how do you know? How do you know what specific ministry God is calling you to do? Well, there are two preliminary steps or preparatory steps that we need to take if we're going to be able to discern the ministry God's called us to do when he gives us that call. And if we don't do these two steps, we're going to have trouble figuring out what God wants us to do. But if we do these two steps, when he calls, we'll hear his voice. So what are they? Two preliminary steps to discerning the ministry that God is calling you to do, the blessing that he wants you to bless others with. A first step is do everything you already know God wants you to do. Why should God tell you something new he wants you to do if you're not doing what he's already told you to do? So do everything you already know God wants you to do. You will not be ready for God's call in the future if you are not already obeying God's will in the present. Is God calling you to go deeper into Scripture? Has God laid a prayer burden on your heart for a particular person or a particular situation? Dive deeper into Scripture. Lift that prayer burden up to the Lord. Is God calling you to serve a family in some way? Go out and serve them in that way. Do what you know God's already been telling you to do. Because a moving car is a whole lot easier to steer than a parked one. So get moving and let God steer you. And then a second preliminary step to discerning what God's called you to do. Attune your heart to listen to Christ. Well, how do we do that? How do we attune our heart to listen to Christ so that when he speaks to us as to what he would have us to do, we discern and hear his voice? It begins with a reordering of affections. You see, all too often, we're not listening to God's call on our lives because it's way too low on our list of priorities. We've got too many other things we're busy with. And the thing that God wants us to do, well, we're not even paying attention to it. It's that low on our priorities. Misplaced priorities are symptoms of disordered affections. Misplaced priorities are a symptom of disordered affections. And so if the things of God are low on our list of priorities, that means our affections are disordered, and the solution begins with a reordering of our affections. As Christ spoke to the Ephesian church that had everything going for it outwardly, you have forsaken your first love. Forsaken your first love. I think there's a need in God's church today in this nation for a reordering of our affections. Do we love God first? Do we love God most? Our disciple-making pathway begins with loving God with all we are, do we? Reorder your affections so that you love God first and you love God most. And everything else will fall right into line, including whatever blessing he wants to give to you to be a blessing to others. And then reflect. That involves stillness. That involves being still before the Lord. As the Lord says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Come away from the frenzy and be still before the Lord. And then retreat. Retreat from this noisy world. You know, there's a lot of noise out here in this world, and it's just getting noisier. And we need times of solitude where we've retreated from this noisy world. And sometimes we go on retreats that are anything but. And we need to get to a place of solitude where we can hear that still, small voice, that whisper of God that all the noise has been drowning out. And then rely. Trust God that as your affections are rightly ordered and you reflect upon the godness of God in stillness and retreat into solitude to hear his still small voice, he'll speak, he'll guide, he'll direct, he'll show, he'll call. You'll have a sense of what it is he wants you to do. You just have to be ready to hear his voice with a willing and obedient and submissive and surrendered heart that is abiding in Christ. For like Jeremiah, we each receive a call to a particular ministry, to a way in which God wants to bless us to be blessings to others. But then, all too often, we might shy away from that divine call that God extends to us. You know, we get scared. And we think it's too much for us. So we shy away into our little comfort box. That's what Jeremiah did. Verse 6. Ah, sovereign Lord, I, Jeremiah said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Jeremiah concocts two excuses to evade the draft. First excuse involves his lack of ability. I do not know how to speak. The second excuse involves his lack of experience. I am only a child. Jeremiah was probably a teenager, maybe somewhere around 14 years old, when God called him to this prophetic ministry. God, I don't have the ability. I can't speak. I don't have the experience. I'm just a kid. Call somebody else. Well, likewise, we might shy away from God's call to ministry. And we might try, like Jeremiah, to evade the draft by making the same two excuses that Jeremiah makes. I don't have the ability. I don't know how to do this. I get nervous speaking in front of a whole Sunday school class. I don't have the experience. I've never led a small group before. Now, all too often, we can be like the hobbit Frodo in the Fellowship of the Ring. Frodo has been chosen to make a long and dangerous quest to destroy the One Ring of Power, a quest that he himself would never have chosen for himself, but he was drafted into it. And Frodo cries out, I am not made for perilous quests. I wish I'd never seen the ring. Why did it come to me? Why was I chosen? And like God's prophets, Frodo receives this reply: "Such questions cannot be answered. You may be sure that it was not for any merit that others do not possess, but you have been chosen, and you must therefore use such strength and heart and wits as you have." Like Frodo and like Jeremiah, we may shy away from our divine call. We may make excuses to evade the draft. I don't have the ability. I don't have the experience. I don't have this. I don't have that. Just multiply all the inadequacies. But each one of us has been chosen. Chosen to be a blessing into someone's life, to deliver good by word or by deed. Chosen for a particular ministry. And God's plan for our lives remains His plan for our lives, no matter how many excuses we might multiply to try to get out of it. No excuse can derail the plan for our lives that God has set in the counsels of His will before we were conceived. And so, although we might shy away from our divine call, yet God enables us to fulfill our call. You see, both of Jeremiah's excuses become opportunities for God. God is a master at turning our excuses into His opportunities. And so Jeremiah's excuses provide opportunities for God to enable him. God begins with Jeremiah's second excuse: "I am only a child. I lack the experience." And Jeremiah's lack of experience is met by God's enabling presence. The Lord says, "Oh, do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." The Lord is saying, "Jeremiah, your experience cannot stop you because I will be with you. So don't be afraid of them." Now, if I'd been Jeremiah right at this point, I might have added a verse between verse 8 and verse 9, and I might have said, Lord, you're telling me not to be afraid of them, and you're telling me you'll rescue me. What is it you're getting me into?" Imagine a king who sends one of his knights to rescue the princess. The knight in shining armor rides out of the castle on his white horse, and the drawbridge closes up right behind him. And then the king yells down from the castle ramparts, "Oh, and don't be afraid of the dragon." "Dragon? What dragon? You didn't tell me anything about a dragon." You know, ministry can be filled with dragons. Sometimes we can get burned from the flame from the dragon's mouth. We can face misunderstanding and criticism and opposition and spiritual warfare. And you might say, "Lord, you didn't tell me about these dragons. What are you getting me into?" And when that happens, we have the Lord's assurance of His presence. His presence to be with us. "I am with you." His presence to protect us. "I will rescue you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is not of God." The psalmist says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Do not be afraid. Go to whom I will send you. Speak whatever I tell you, and I will be with you." After His resurrection and before His ascension, Jesus set up a meeting with His disciples. And wow, did he give them a huge ministry that far exceeded their ability or experience. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Wow. Anyone able to do that? Anyone experienced enough to do that? Make disciples of all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always. Do not say I am only a child. Do not say I don't have the experience for this. I am with you always. His presence is what counts. His presence. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be right there with you to the very end of the age. Yeah, we may be inexperienced, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who has plenty of experience, is with us. Discipling us as we make disciples, our mentor, our guide, our provider, our protector. And he is enough. Christ is enough. He is sufficient. He's all we need. And he's with us. Well, having laid to rest Jeremiah's second excuse, we return to Jeremiah's first excuse. Remember that was, "I do not know how to speak." It's interesting how Jeremiah is speaking, "I do not know how to speak." Our excuses are often just as empty. In other words, I lack the ability. I lack the ability to be a prophet. Prophets have to speak. I don't know how to speak. Lord, you saw my report card. I got a D in public speaking. And Jeremiah's lack of ability is met by God's enabling provision. The Lord replies this way. The Lord reached out his hand. And he touched my mouth, and he said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah's inability to speak is more than met by God putting his words in Jeremiah's mouth. What more would he need? What more do we need? He gives what we do not know. He enables us to do what we cannot do. I don't know how to speak, but the Lord has put his words in my mouth. Jeremiah's insufficiency is filled with God's sufficiency. Likewise, when we feel inadequate to accomplish God's call to ministry, God fills our insufficiency with his sufficiency. When we don't know how to speak, he puts his words in our mouth. When we don't know how to do it, he puts his doing of it in our hand. He fills our insufficiency with his sufficiency, equipping us to do what he's called us to do. The Apostle Paul gives testimony of his own experience of this dynamic. He asks the question, who is sufficient for this ministry of the new covenant? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one. No one's sufficient for this ministry of the new covenant. And then in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6, he says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, because we are not sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Yes, we are inadequate, but God makes us adequate. Yes, we are insufficient, but God makes us sufficient to do what he's called us to do. So God's not limited by your inability. God's not limited by your inadequacy. The only ability God requires from us is availability, and He will take care of the rest. And He will fill your insufficiency with His sufficiency. And God will enable you to do whatever He calls you to do. He really will. I've seen it happen. Before the very insides of my eyes, I've seen it happen. And so, yes, the Lord is calling you and me to a particular ministry. He is blessing us to be a blessing, to deliver good by a good word or good deed into someone's life. But we tend to compare ourselves to the demands of that ministry, and we find ourselves coming up short, so we might shy away. But when we look not to ourselves, but to God, He enables us to do what He calls us to do. So the question before you and me this morning is this: will we be faithful to our call from God? He's called us to it. We've made our excuses. I'm too inexperienced. I don't have the ability. He's met our excuses with His answers. I'll make you able, and I'll be with you. So now, the next step rests with us. Will we be faithful? Will we be faithful to our call from God? Yeah, we might think our ministry that God's called us to is too hard. God gives Jeremiah a hard ministry. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. That's four negatives and two positives. Jeremiah's prophecies are about God's coming judgment on His rebellious people. And Jeremiah faces persecution in the course of his ministry. He's placed in stocks and humiliated. He's thrown into an empty cistern. He's kidnapped and carried off to Egypt. No wonder he's the weeping prophet. He felt like quitting. He said, I'm not going to speak this word anymore. But then the word is a fire in his bones and he cannot hold it in. And through it all, Jeremiah remains faithful to what God called him to do. For 40 years, 40 years of faithfulness. How about you and how about me? Will we be faithful to our call from God, to what God is calling us to do? Even when it becomes hard. Even when we face opposition. Even in a culture that is growing increasingly hostile to the message that we have to share. Will we be faithful? We will be faithful when we are full of faith. To be faithful, we have to be full of faith. Full of faith in the God who enables us and is with us so that we can do what He's called us to do. He fills our insufficiency with His sufficiency, our weakness with His power, our lack with His fullness, our frailty with His strength. God pours His perfections into your imperfections, and He draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And when you don't measure up, Jesus measures up for you. And that's the gospel. When you don't measure up, Jesus measures up for you. He's all you need. He's enough. He is sufficient. So keep going. Be faithful. Will you do whatever He calls you to do? Will you say whatever He calls you to say? will you go wherever he calls you to go? Let's pray.